You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Earlier this week, we did a story on the baseball uniforms and the see-through pants. We have more video now since they're playing games, and it's video we can't even show you in good conscience. That's how see-through these pants are. What is that? Also, the headline coming out of Indiana, huge win over Iowa last night. Des Moines Register, blueprint for beating Caitlin Clark, what? And in Dallas last night, Tim, your account, your people. Does he say I host a podcast about sports as his excellent? Look at the walk-off from Durant. Let's go around the horn.
Not all podcasts. Wow. Not all podcasts.
Gary hosts a podcast about sports called ESPN.
Yeah, we all got a podcast.
We'll get to that in a second. Last night, Thunder smoking the Clippers 129-107. Nuggets. A near-perfect game from Jokic and making the Wizards see ghosts. Mavs over the Suns. They're almost perfect in February. And Golden State over Lakers in a no-LeBron game. That's how the second half starts in the West. Harry Lyles Jr., around the horn to you. Biggest result from the first game back.
Tone, I got to acknowledge that Kyrie-Luka duo is looking, I think, the way that a lot of us thought it could look when that duo first happened. But the thing that stuck out to me, even though LeBron was not playing last night, was the Golden State Warriors. They're now 9-2 in their last 11 games, and it seems like this team has finally figured out the formula that they've been picking around with all season. Brandon Podziemski, and starting in place of Klay Thompson, has been a huge, huge lift for this team. They've been one of the best offensive teams, seventh defensively. Draymond Green is averaging 10-7-7 since he has come back. John Kamina's coming into his own. And even Andrew Wiggins has woken up.
Mm-hmm. Courtney Cronin, most significant result from last night.
It's the Golden State Warriors. That second unit, whether it's Trayce Jackson-Davis and his 17 points that he scored on his 24th birthday, shout out to an Indiana alum there, and the way that Steve Kerr's been able to manage that. I'm curious what's going to happen when CP3 comes into the mix, but they're in a good spot right now. They have Jonathan Kuminga ascending. They have Draymond Green back in the fold and playing at a high level, and they're plus 1.5 scoring margin against the second hardest schedule in the NBA up until this point. Mm. Shows you that they're better than what their record tells us it is, and I think the key to this over the next 29 games, win those fourth quarters.
Jim Kalishaw, most significant result from last night.
Well, I know you're expecting me to talk about the Mavericks' seventh win in a row and how Luka and Kyrie are finally getting it together. And I just did. But Oklahoma City's win over the Clippers was clearly the most impressive. They won by 20 against the number 3 seed in the West, the Clippers team that's been way better than I expected. But Oklahoma City continues to do it with defense, with tremendous depth at guard, with the still terminally underrated Shai Gilgeous-Alexander piling up all kinds of numbers. And they've still got that stockpile of first-round picks to spend the next
week. Pablo Torre, last night's most significant result in the Western Conference.
The Thunder are super impressive, to Tim's point. Top four offense, top four defense, might be the number one seed. All of that is true. But are we just going to, like, stop talking about how Nikola Jokic has, like, triple-doubles where he shoots 100% from the field? I get it. It's against the Wizards.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
part of a $100 million disaster over the next 3 years. All of that's true, Tony. I get it. But I just feel like I gotta say, a triple-double, 100% from the field, it's the field goal percentage part. It's just like, those guys, still probably gonna win a championship or two before, you know.
Fourth time he's done that triple-double with the 100% field goal percentage. Okay, we've been horned. Now we dig into the exchange in Dallas last night. The B word allegedly said and heard by Kevin Durant. You see him stop and go right to two Mavs fans, kind of alone in that area. And then they want DAP? And there's so many cameras around now and so many cameras covering this, more cameras covering than a moon landing. So we see how it played out in the exchange. It really ends with, I host a podcast about sports? Is that possible? Durant's face as he hears it walking off. Timmy, what was this?
Embarrassing. I love the fact that sitting there with a handout. Hey, we got your attention by calling you a terrible word. Here, give me five. And the fact that he hosts a podcast that makes him one of 900,000 in this country. So I don't know how that distinguishes him. I thought Durant handled it very well. Didn't go crazy. Didn't ask for them to be removed. And talked about it. You know, we've gotten on Durant for being a little rabbit-eared with the crowd and with people on X and everything else over the years. But in this case, I thought he handled it perfectly.
Pablo, as a panelist here who does some podcast work, please. How do you plead here?
Yeah, it's just not a great look for our community, our occupation today, Tone. For our people, no. It did feel entirely like what your Twitter mentions actually look like, right? That's what it was. It was a Twitter interaction in real life. It looked sad. It made all of us sad, I think, to see it actually in the flesh. And my real only point here is that as somebody who likes, I like it when the crowd boos. I like when they're agitated. I like having an atmosphere. These are the people, when you just use words like that so carelessly, ruin it for everybody
allegedly,
else.
Allegedly, yes.
I don't want NBA players, allegedly, to feel this way because of alleged words. I don't want them to feel like booing ends up being a thing that's hostile. And so just be normal. Can we just be normal? Is that a lot to ask for at this point?
Harry Lyles Jr.
I just love how Kevin Durant handled this because, as Pablo just mentioned, this is what a lot of our Twitter mentions look like. And y'all are real tough until we reply to you. And then it's like, oh, sorry, but I'm a huge fan of your work, even though I just said some terrible things about you. And so to sit there and then acknowledge this person, make you be like, hey, is this something like this is something that you really just did and you really just said? And now, as Tim said, you got your hand out there and you're trying to be my buddy. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. So for him to acknowledge it, make them then sit there and watch the game and sit in what you just did, which was look, and I don't do a lot of name calling on TV, but you look like an idiot when you do that. I thought it was a great way to handle it.
And Courtney Cronin.
This is the real life definition of mess around and find out. Just because you spent a lot of money to sit close to the court does not give you license to say whatever you please to an athlete. And I know there are going to be some who say that KD is soft or he's thin skinned or he makes so much money that he should be able to ignore these points. No, people need to be held accountable for their words, whether it's an interaction like this or whether it's something that happens on social media. I, for one, like to pick my spots. I think that you are well within your right to correct people when they say something offensive or flat out wrong. And Kevin Durant getting the last laugh in this moment by walking away when this guy tries to tell him, oh, by the way, I host a sports podcast, probably in that moment trying to see if Katie will come on as a guest after insulting him moments before.
You can't knock that hustle for guest booking. All right, I think you're unanimous on this. We'll move on. One more story here. NFL. Punter Matt Araiza signing with Kansas City. Do you have any thoughts on his return to the league after his very public release in Buffalo when he was named in a rape lawsuit? Prosecutors did not file criminal charges against Araiza, with court documents indicating they had evidence he left the party an hour before an alleged assault. The woman later dropped Araiza from her civil suit in December, with Araiza dropping his countersuit for defamation. So, Courtney Cronin, do you have any thoughts on the league's highest profile team making this move?
Let's talk about the football aspect first. So Tommy Townsend, the Chiefs' former All-Pro punter, is set to be a free agent. They probably can't afford to pay him. They're already paying Harrison Butker, their kicker, nearly $5 million a year. So financially, what they're paying Matt Araiza, which is a minimum deal with no injury guarantees, more or less, it's a low-risk move for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it gives Araiza the chance now to restart his career from where it left off when he was released by the Bills 2 years ago. We've seen this throughout the NFL where players have been accused of crimes previously and the legal process has either played out or it hasn't played out, and those players have gotten opportunities to restart their career. The Chiefs have done very clearly their research here, and I believe that they feel that they are entitled, I don't know if that's the right word, but to make a move like this given how they let the legal process play out to this point.
Tim Kalisha.
I think the Chiefs are like 31 other teams. They wrestle with these decisions all the time. At times, Kansas City has taken players who have some sort of red flag. On the other hand, they got rid of Kareem Hunt very quickly when that became a situation, and Cleveland picked him up. And that was a move that could have cost them, you know, a good player at that time. What I don't understand right now, even though Courtney made the point that they're going to need a punter is there are a lot of ways to find punters, and you've just won three of the last five Super Bowls, and you're sort of riding as high as any sports franchise in America can ride. Why you even want to be involved with even a minimal kind of controversy?
Pablo Torre, in your reporting and your coverage along other platforms, you have looked at this story quite a bit, the specifics of this case, but also now that Ariza is now signed by Kansas City.
Yeah, he's a useful player, Tony. He's the only college punter I've spent more than a minute thinking about. That's Matt Ariza. Now, the complexity of this, trying to map it onto, trying to map a complicated interpersonal tragedy, really, just how this all played out onto NFL transactions is an insane task. So I won't try it. Read Diana Moskovitz, a defector. She's outlined step by step how this proceeding has resolved and gone away. And because it's resolved and gone away and there are no charges, no lawsuits, no case here, I can say pretty confidently that he should have the chance to go take this job with the Chiefs, point blank. Now, how you feel about this, go read the reporting and make that judgment. But the transaction, unsurprising and reasonable given the larger framework here.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, Tony, I think in these cases, we always see that players have baggage. And Matt Ariza is a player that has baggage, and how you feel about that baggage is obviously going to determine how you feel about whether or not the Chiefs or anybody else should take a chance on him or give him an opportunity. But as we see in all of these situations, albeit the baggage, if you will, is different, teams are going to take a chance on you if they feel like what you can provide for them is greater than what that baggage is, and if they feel like that they can deal with that. And in the case of Matt Ariza, this is a player that we have referred to as the punt god, and he is very skilled at what he does and could potentially be the best punter in the NFL next season in week one. And so because of that, the Chiefs obviously made the determination that having him on their roster is worth the risk of that baggage and how people feel about it.
Thanks for your thoughts on that. Take a break right here. Buy or Sell is next around the horn.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season, at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from above the Heineken River Deck.
See-through pants. We can't even show you how see-through. The new Nike Fanatics uniforms are scandalous. This is story number four of this week. Universal concern is the pant, player union Tony Clark said. Per SF Chronicle Susan Slusser, multiple league sources swear the pants are exactly the same as last year. Studio lighting is the issue. Timmy, what you buy, what you sell?
Well, studio lighting's got the best of me many times, Tony, but I'm not really sure in this case that's all we're talking about here. All the players seem to believe, or many of them, that these are different pants. They have a different look to them, and it might be something with I don't know, everybody playing spring training games today, they might want to resolve fairly soon.
Gordy Crowden.
So I asked myself when I read this story, like, did they actually test these out before giving them to players? And the answer is yes. Nike, which partnered with Fanatics, tested nearly 300 baseball players' bodies, and this is still the result. And it's not just the quality that's an issue, it's the quantity. I know not every team at spring training has 70 guys on the roster like the Chicago White Sox, but there are teams right now that don't have enough uniforms, and there's a shortage of these crappy uniforms at that too.
Oh, such small portions as well. Okay, thank you very much. Harry Lyles, we have photos here. We can't even show you. Is this, how big an issue is this?
We're doing this in Major League Baseball. Like, what are we doing? And honestly, I didn't even notice this until we showed those Guardians players. The hemming on the sleeve wasn't even the same. Like, where is the, just even the consistency? Like, if it's going to be bad, at least be consistently bad. Like, they're not even that. Like, this whole thing is absolutely wild.
This is one of the greatest stories you've had in recent memory, Tony. Like, it's a real, the emperor has terrible clothes scenario, which is just rare, right? Like, will you call out Nike and Fanatics for making something that everybody knows looks horrible? And I think if it's not changed, what that really indicates is that people don't care enough about baseball. Like, if this happened in the NFL, imagine what we'd be doing, Tony. We'd be doing 24-hour telethons about trying to fix these uniforms.
People say baseball's boring. I mean, you wanted this, you got it. There was a moment, though, when players said the balls are different. You're talking about the baseballs, not what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But, and they were right, right? The ball, baseball had to actually say, you know what, we said it, but it is actually the case. The players know. They know it's different. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Spring training beginning, and here's a baseball story about baseball. The reigning Cy Young winner is still unsigned. Courtney, what do you buy, what do you sell with Blake Snell unsigned, and where might he land?
I'm buying that the Boris Four, as we refer to Scott Boris's four clients that remained unsigned, four very high-profile clients, might be waiting a little bit longer. Let's take the New York Yankees, for example, a team that's been linked to Blake Snell. Their projected luxury tax with their payroll is supposed to be about $300 million right now. Even if Blake Snell were to sign there for $15 million, that would make the Yankees roster for 2024 cost over $400 million in total. I think the same goes for Jordan Montgomery, for Cody Bellinger. Teams just aren't willing, with the way that their rosters are constructed, to go and give these players these massive deals, no questions asked.
Not willing to pay the reigning Cy Young winner, Harry Lyles. How does it strike you?
Tony, this one is pretty simple for me. As Courtney mentioned, a lot of the big names that are not signed are all Scott Boras clients, and we only know the names of sports agents in sports that get their guys paid. We are at the point of the season where if you are going to spend a lot of money, you've probably already done it by this point. So until a team becomes needy in the season, they might be waiting a while.
Pablo, is this Boras Moras to you?
Yeah, I just like the Yankees to pay up at this point. Like, I don't think the Yankees are in a position, Tony, to suddenly be penny pinchers, even if the pennies amount to $400 million. You can get him. He's available. He's a Cy Young winner. Let's not overthink this, guys. Seems kind of like a layup.
Nobody spends other people's money like Pablo Torre. He's a two-time Cy Young winner. He's just the reigning this year. Tim Gallagher, how about you?
Probably the best Cy Young winner of a starting pitcher never to have finished an eighth inning also. Maybe that's what teams are thinking about. But in this case, I don't know if Boris is waiting for injuries. We're getting a little late in the game. Ranger fans want to know when Jordan Montgomery is going to sign. They don't win a World Series without him.
Buy or sell three. Indiana 86, Iowa 69. What a game. What an environment. Hoosiers big win. Mackenzie Holmes, historic night in the whiteout for Indiana. But it's the Des Moines Register headline that I want to start with. Blueprint to beat Iowa. Exposed. Caitlin Clark was 3 of 16 from 3 and 8 of 26 for the game, whilst nearly triple-doubling 24-10-9 in Iowa's, what, fourth loss of the season? Harry, buy or sell the blueprint exposed.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sell that. I mean, I think I could have told you, you got to keep a hand in Caitlin Clark's face and make everybody else beat you. And this is a very good Indiana team. I don't know about this. Look, this Iowa team is not nearly as good as they were last year. Obviously, they're still going to compete, especially as long as Caitlin Clark's on your team. But not having Monica Zano and McKenna Warnock as your second and third options, it's made it a little bit more tough for them this year, and we've seen that across stretches. And this is an Indiana team that came to this wanting revenge. Caitlin Clark buried them this time last year when they were number two team in the country in 26-1, and they made good on that
last night. Pablo
Torre?
Yeah, a tremendously played game by Indiana, like a super effective execution of a game plan, but the game plan itself is not exactly useful to other people. It's this thing, Tony, we talked about this Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, the blueprint's out, two high safeties, everyone's gonna start doing it. Do you have the people to execute? Maybe Indiana on one night does. I will take Caitlin Clark pretty much every other evening.
Kalisha, did you see a blueprint last night?
I'm selling the idea that near the end of year four, the leading scorer in women's history, somebody plays a box and one, and people go, the blueprint, play a box and one, cover her, and zone everybody else.
Courtney
Nobody Cronin, ever thought of that.
I know you're a Hoosier proud, and you love that team, and there's a lot to love last night. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Put some respect on this team's
Great
name
win.
Right here. Oh. They out-physicaled Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Mackenzie Holmes in the paint. She was the answer last night. And when you're face guarding Caitlin Clark in the half court and taking away their best option, it's going to make things harder for other contributors. And to Harry's point, they don't have the depth that they did either.
Anna Stolke has emerged. And then there's been some growing pains as she gets her game around her. And that's what Iowa's going to be looking at for the tournament run ahead. Courtney Cronin, Harry Lau Jr., thanks for your time today. Kalisha Torre, showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Showdown one from the NBA last night. Better assist. Here's Jokic behind the back against the Wizards. Or Curry, no look. Tib Kalisha, both are incredible, but which is the most incredible?
Tough call, but I'm going with Jokic. He did it in traffic in a half-court setting. Now it's Wizards traffic. I know that comes with an asterisk, but still, the big man pulled it off.
Has Tim learned nothing from our A block? I've been told on this show there's an exchange rate of Wizards. And so half a Warrior is worth like a half dozen Wizards to me. So give me Steph.
Very good argument. You learned from previous failures.
Precedent.
But you're wrong in the argument anyway, because it is absolutely Jokic in stride. In stride is what gives Kalisha the point. Showdown two, refs on microphones. Here's Kevin Scott with details of the Grayson Allen foul.
Illegal contact is too much to ignore.
Too much to ignore. And then in hockey, the Garrett Rank with the honest explanation to Holmes Blues fans.
You're not going to like it, but the call on the ice was correct. No goal.
Pablo, whose honesty do you like most of all?
As the father of a four-year-old daughter, that hockey ref knows what he's doing. You gotta let him down gently. You're not gonna like this, but bedtime is still
answer.
At 6:30 p.m. Violet.
Great answer. How about you, Tim? You have some work to do.
Yeah, I don't want quite so much editorializing from my officials. Give me the smooth southern sounds of Kevin Scott. Too much to ignore. If you listen to his full answer, straight out of In the Heat of the Night.
No editorializing. Torre, FaceTime.
None.
I've spent the last couple of segments of the show thinking of a new Shark Tank idea, so Sharks, here's my idea. You know how in Major League Baseball you're not allowed to wear ads of your own devising, your own marketing on top of your jersey? Well, what if I told you, Sharks, that uniforms are so terrible now you can see right through them? Which means that I, host of Pablo Torre Finds Out, would like to offer all baseball players an opportunity to wear my logo underneath your pants.
Oh, come on. Come
on. A small fee.
You see, I already invest in a similar business, so for that reason, I'm out.